the last three Sundays, we've been talking about the King is coming. So the King was born in a manger, a little baby, grew up to be a man, and died on a cross at the age of 33, approximately. Rose from the dead, ascended back into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for y'all. That means praying for, loving, praying for you. He cares for you. He wants to know that, or that you didn't know that. He's coming back again. When's he coming? Anybody know the day or the hour? Nobody? Okay. You're right. When I asked that question, there nobody does know the day or the hour. But we do kind of know the season. The disciples, the gospel writers, the epistle writers, Paul, those folks wrote with a flavor of, okay, Jesus came, he died, he rose again, he's coming soon. That's the flavor of their letters, of the things that they wrote. He's coming again, he's coming soon, he's coming the second time. When, we don't know, but he is. Okay, so that was the last three Sundays. Now for the next three Sundays, starting this Sunday, until he comes, what are we to be about? This last Sunday, I kind of shared a number of things about, okay, until he comes, what kind of people are we? What kind of people are we? How do we live our lives in the meantime? Waiting, praying, watching, right? We talked about some of those. Expecting. All right. The Great Commission gives us our marching orders, so to speak. Let's take a look. Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." What's the end of the age? That day, the Lord Jesus comes back again. So this is called the Great Commission. Father in heaven, thank you for these words. Enlighten our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit and by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So these are the last words that Jesus shared with his disciples before he went back into heaven to be with his Father. It's known as the Great Commission. Why is it known as great? And why is it known as the Great Commission? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. It's called the Great Commission because it is the risen King's authoritative sending of his disciples, the 12, into the world with the gospel, empowered by his presence and entrusted with his mission until he returns. Now, I said the 12, but when you say yes to Jesus Christ by faith, you become a disciple of his, and you're called to be then on mission for him as a disciple. So it's great, the Great Commission, it's great in its authority, in its scope, and in the promise that it makes. Jesus commands his followers to make disciples of all nations. All nations includes everyone. All nations, tribes and nations will be at the throne one day, worshiping the Lord Jesus, being in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. All tribes, all ethnicities, all nations will be there that has said yes to Jesus Christ by faith. Good news of the gospel is meant for all people. Asher's favorite verse, again, was John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Here's verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him," through Jesus Christ. So until he comes, we make disciples. And we point them to Jesus. The Lord Jesus emphasized baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you look at the original Greek, in the sentence structure here, the emphasis is on the action of the verb. These are participles, discipling and teaching. Those are participles that highlight the verb, make. And it has a sense of continue to make, continue to teach, continue to baptize. So the Lord Jesus assures us in this passage, he assures his disciples, they're a little afraid. Okay, they're a little fearful. They've just seen him come out of a grave. Come on. And they see him again. They see him for 40 days. Not all of them believed right away. Thomas especially. I'm not going to believe till I see it. Hands, feet, whole. Thomas. My peace I give to you. Stop doubting and believe. Trust in me. Here it is. It's me. I'm here. I said I'd be here. I'm here. I can't spend as much time as maybe you want me to. It's not the way it's working. But I'll be here 40 days. But then you won't see me. But you will see me again one day. Next, Jesus, he assures us of his presence. He knew his disciples were afraid and confused. They had questions, so he assures them, no matter what, in the clear and in the confused, in the easy and the hard, in the good and the bad, I'm with you always, both now and forever, even to the end of the age. Peter reminds us, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The Apostle Paul helps us here. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Then there's Psalm 140. Surely the righteous will praise your name and the upright will live in your presence. The promise is sure. Jesus tells them and he tells us this morning, I am with you now and I'm with you always. And Jesus doesn't send us on this mission alone. He assures us of his continual presence, his guidance, and his strength. No matter the challenges, no matter the opposition, he remains with us always and forever, both now and then. And so until he comes, we're guaranteed and promised his presence. Next, we receive the good news of Jesus by faith and then are sent with his authority. This is the foundation of our mission and our outreach. It's the longest prayer recorded in the Bible of Jesus. In John 17, he said this. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven. He prayed this, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all people, so that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Then later in his prayer, he prays this. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them. The following is from BibleHub.com, and speaking of every believer's role, while formal missionary work is carried out by trained individuals, the command extends to all believers. According to the New Testament teaching, each member of the body of Christ serves a unique function, whether through prayer, financial support, friendship evangelism, or cross-cultural endeavors. So our Lutheran brethren missionaries and people we know, like Caitlin, are called to formal missionary work. Raise your hand, Caitlin, wave. There she is. Okay. There's others that have been called. Zane is waving his hand. You've been called to your classmates, to your family members, to your church family, to your community. You've been called. We all have been called to have said yes to Jesus Christ. All of us are on mission for Him. Matthew 5:16, we're encouraged to live our lives in such a way that others notice. Live our lives in such a way that others notice. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In 1786, a young English pastor named William Carey stood up at the ministers' meeting with a simple but unsettling question. Do Jesus' words, "Go and make disciples of all nations," still apply to us today? The room went quiet. Some of the older pastors shifted uncomfortably. One finally replied, "Young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, He will do it without your help or mine." Carey sat down, but he didn't stay down. He went home with Matthew 28 burning in his heart. He reread the Great Commission, not as a relic of the early church, but as a living command from a risen King. He wrote, he preached, he pleaded, and eventually he sailed, leaving behind his cobbler's bench to carry the gospel to India. Carey would later challenge the church with words that still echo today. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. And all of it, his passion, his persistence, his mission, was rooted in one passage. It was the Great Commission, Matthew 28. The Great Commission, the final command of Jesus, the ongoing calling of the church. If a shoemaker can hear those words and reshape the world, then surely Christ can speak them again to us today. I thought I was going to be a teacher and a coach for my career. In fact, yesterday I went to a baseball game down in Fargo. North Dakota State was playing South Dakota State. I was a baseball player in my day. I won't tell you the years. It'll embarrass everybody, me too. Long time ago. And somebody asked the question there. They said, "Well, how did a teacher and a coach go to become a pastor?" So I tried to be brief. I tried to tell them the story, and it was simply a question that was asked by a youth leader's wife. Not simply, but God used that young lady in my life to challenge where I was in life. Was this something I was going to do that God had for me, or was I going to teach and coach for the rest of my adult career? And let me tell you a story about the assistant superintendent, Lowell Latimer. I had been in the Minot Public School system long enough to where I could take a year of leave of absence. So I chose to do that. I wasn't going to burn that last bridge. took a leave of absence. The assistant superintendent calls me in, and he sits me down. He says, Jeff, are you sure? You sure you want to leave teaching and go to seminary and become a pastor? I said, well, I just feel that, yeah, this is something that I want to do. And he said, I was in your same shoes 25 years ago. I was praying and contemplating going to seminary to become a pastor. I chose to stay in education. But if you feel the Lord's leading you to seminary, you have my blessing. 2 weeks into being down at the seminary in Fergus Falls, God confirmed that through the guys there, the professors, through the study, that I was to retire from Minot Public Schools and become a pastor. My point in the story is, I could have stayed in education like Lowell did, or I could have gone down to seminary, become a pastor, and gone to Canada, found a wife, brought her back, and now she's here. You all have a calling on your life. You've said yes to Jesus. You can't deny that. It comes with the package. Okay? You say yes to Jesus by faith, boom. He's got a calling on your life. You have a purpose. He's got a plan for you. You may not see it. You may not know it. But then he asks, okay, trust me with it. Pray through it. I will lead you and I will guide you and I will equip you with what you need for what you're going to do. So you're on mission wherever you've been called right now. You're on mission. You're a missionary. So until he comes, we make disciples and point people to Jesus. So until he comes, we're guaranteed and promised his presence. So until he comes, we are all sent with his authority. All authority, Jesus says, has been given to me. I am now sending you with my authority to point others to me. In John 20, a post-resurrected Jesus, soon to go back to heaven, shares with them. On the evening of that day of the week, when the disciples were together with them for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came, stood among them, and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So then after Jesus ascended back into heaven, the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell in those who say yes to Jesus Christ by faith. He then leads you and I to point others to him. Let's pray. Jesus, you've called us through the gospel, through the word of God, by your spirit, each one of us to say yes to you by faith. And we do that today, once again. Renew our hearts, restore what we need to be restored. Renew us. You are making all things new, and until you come back again, help us to be faithful, help us to be prayerful, and help us to point others to Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of our lives. In Jesus' name.